What's up, world? I'm feeling good. I'm feeling great. It's nobody else but your boy, the Primetime Capper, Pop DBIC, and this is the Primetime Angles Radio Show for Thursday, May 23rd. It's the 23rd, correct? And I got Jeff Dawson in the building with me. Well, in the building in Boston, but you know how I got Jeff on the line. I always say in the building, but eventually we'll be in the building. You know what I mean? Eventually, you know, when we set up that nice radio station over there somewhere on Broadway, 45th, somewhere by Times Square. You know, people have to understand Bleacher Report started off as a little web page that used to just be able to throw out little rumors and things like that about a decade ago. Jeff, do you remember this?
Absolutely.
They were a very small conglomerate of what was going on, and then they got one of the biggest cosigns you could ever get in any sport. Charles Barkley cosigned them on a TNT broadcast, and then things just went from there. Because when they started beating ESPN to the punch to actual news, that's when people were like, okay, I really like these guys, you know. And now they have a whole control over things. So I saw that they got an office now in New York, and it's a big deal. You know, people had to go by and see them too when they made their media run. So I said, that's what you got to try to aspire to be. You know what I mean? Maybe even bigger. But we are here. It's the world of sports betting, but we also analyze this thing as well too. So, you know, we got to always go ahead and break those down. But, Jeff, you know what we're going to do first? I know we always start off with just going right into basketball and everything like that. But let's get to the sport that we can just get out the way a little bit quicker. And that's going to be some baseball. And baseball has been intriguing me this week. We start off Monday, Jeff. But I had some basketball games thrown in there, too. I mean, I had the basketball game thrown in there, too. We wound up getting a great sweep. You know, Monday, awesome. I had the Twins actually alternate run line plus 160, you know, and then we were able to cash out the A's in a great victory that they had. That was a monster right there. It was only plus 160, but that was one of those dogs that you could see it from a mile away that it was going to cash. So, you know, and it was tough to bet against the A's when they've won their last four out of five games going against a team that lost their last four out of five. You know, and see, this is where people have to understand that this is the trickery that the odds makers want to play with you. You know what I mean? They want to make sure that they give you some comfort. Oh no, but you know this pitcher has a 6.45 ERA. You know, literally forgetting about the hitters. And hey, the pitcher's been watching his team win some games. Hey, he's coming in here a little confident. Catcher's calling the games a little bit better. So, hey, it works out like that. So, you wind up getting yourself a good win. And that's what happens. And in baseball, every game is very unpredictable. Like, you got the White Sox sitting up in here. They've been probably a plus 250 minimum all week playing against the Astros. But they really gave the Astros a run for their money last night. And they gave them a run for their money the other night. These are the most tricky series in all of baseball because really, what they know is all the money's going to go on the other side. So, we got to make the line something to where, you know, if you really want these guys, you're going to have to pay for these guys, you know? It's just like if you want to sign a big-time free agent, you know what I mean? When it comes to these odds, Jeff, you know, if you want them, if you want what you feel will be the absolute victory, there it is. But if you want to play on the wild side, hey, we're giving you some action. Hey, the other side needs you just a little bit. And that's when you say, okay, you risk it. That's why I say you risk it, and then you get the reward. You know, you juice it, then, you know, you just get to move on. That's it. So let's get into this first baseball game that I got set up for tomorrow because we don't have a lot of games. It's a traveling day today. Let me go ahead and see what we got here, Jeff. I got a really good one to start off. This is the Reds-Cubbies game, early game. And if people been dealing with me for the last 4 or 5 years betting baseball, you know where I'm going, Jeff. You know where I'm going. If the dog is over plus 140, give me the dog at Wrigley during the day for the matinee game. The 120 game, yeah, let me go ahead and get that. I can't wait to get back to Chicago too, Jeff. I love that place. got to get to a, and always everybody says you want to go to a Cubs game. I'd rather go to a White Sox game. They're kind of empty. Then maybe I could go ahead and sit behind home plate. You know what I mean? Hey, I'm on TV. You know, it's the old, it's like the old Clippers Lakers joke. My favorite comedian of all time, Robin Harris. Rest in peace. If you guys don't know who that is, he's the father in House Party 1. Pretty much Jeff, you seen House Party 1, right?
Yes, I did.
And the father's pretty much stole the show, correct?
Correct.
Yeah, so, you know, because he made my parents, who you know, they always watched the stuff too, but they're in their 70s now. He had them watch that movie several times when it came out. And they're just like, I love him. You know, so, you know, he said he had a funny stand up. He said one time, he said, you know, he's real close with Magic. He said, so Magic gets me tickets to the Laker game. And he said, I should get up to the Laker game. I'm looking at him. It looks like a bunch of ants running up and down the floor. You know, and he said, well, then I got my free Clipper ticket. And he said, damn, messed around, got myself on the bench. Coach threw me in the game, got me a triple-double, 21 rebounds, 10 assists, you know, 20 points, you know. And Coach asked me, he said, can you come back next week? He said, nah, man, I got shit to do. I love it. This is when the Clippers were awful. This is when they were awful and literally just living in the basement and just taking up space over at the – and paying rent and just paying – to be at the sports arena to be the second team in LA. But they're much better now. They're much better now. You know, they got confidence, and, you know, they know how to keep their home fans happy. That means getting themselves a first or second round playoff exit, Jeff. But let me stick to it, because, you know, I just wanted to throw that funny in there real quick. But, yeah, I do love the Reds tomorrow in this game against the Cubs. Good old NL Central game. I like the plus 145 in this spot. And you know I love that pitcher too, man. That pitcher that's going tomorrow, he pitches well, and he always pitches the Cubs very well too. Del Schifani. Andy. I swear I mess his name up all the time, dude. All the time. Literally, I got to be like those announcers. You got to sit there and sound his name out for 15 minutes straight to make sure you got it all the way correct. So that's where I'm rolling with in the first game. The second game I have here is the Padres and the Blue Jays in a interleague matchup. This should be a real good one, Jeff. This should be a good game. You can't really tell who's going to win the game. You got Luke Casey on the mound for the Padres. I think we were on the last Luke Casey game, huh, Jeff?
Yep.
Yeah, and but today, though, we're not going to pick a winner here. We're just going to go ahead and take the over 8.5. This looks like it feels like an over game to me. Machado has always hit the Blue Jays pretty well. I think that does carry over to, you know, this game right here. And it's an interleague game. They usually always seem to go over, you know, when it's a weird matchup like this one. Like, it's a weird matchup this week, Jeff. I got to be honest. Like, the Rays and the Dodgers. You know, these are rare matchups. You know, you don't get them much, you know? And I'm going to go ahead and take the over 8.5 here, Jeff. I like it. I like it a lot. It's actually getting minus 120 right now from what I can see. And you guys have to remember, these are all games for May 24th. These are not games for tonight. So when you're listening to the show, just know that I'm taking care of you for tomorrow, and these are early lines, so don't quote me on this, okay? Don't get all pissy with me and be like, Pop, you know it went plus 1.5 on the other side. La, 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 la. You know, I'm going off with the lines makers we made today to start it off, you know, to kick things off a little bit. Jeff, what are you thinking here, man?
I'm a Luch fan. I'm seeing right now minus 128, 133, give or take a penny or two. Under over 8.5, as you said, minus 105, minus 110. I think San Diego getting away from home inside in the dome. Thornton's been hit or miss. I personally lean San Diego for our boy Craig Meadey. And I would lean there, but I could see the Padres putting up a handful, so I'll pull for your over there. How's that?
Padre Twitter, you heard it here first. Jeff is rolling with y'all. You know, we don't really like to, we don't want to get on y'all too bad, man, because y'all show a lot of love to the movement. But you know how, you know, being where I'm at, you know, and being in the same division. But it's always been nothing but respect for the Padres, though, man. It's the Giants that get that irk me sometimes. And it's just because they've taken so much away from the Dodgers in my lifetime. You know, the Padres come in, beat the Dodgers. Oh, well, it's the Padres, you know. Oh, well, they didn't see that one coming. But, yeah, I like the over 8.5 in this spot. And if the Padres win, good for them. All right, I hope you guys are still happy with Manny Machado. I haven't heard much about from Mr. Jeff. I haven't heard a lot.
Yeah, he's been a little quiet. It's being expected, though, out in San Diego. Listen, you know, the other big signing, Bryce Harper, come 3-4 days ago, was leading the majors in strikeouts. So even though Manny's been a little quiet, you know, I think he's doing a little better than Harper overall. And, you know, my 2 cents on the major league, the three big teams in the National League, okay, the Phillies, the Braves, and the Nationals, they just keep giving away games in that back end. And Kimbrel's still sitting out there. So every night on Twitter after one of these guys lose, I send a nice little friendly tweet out to their management saying, Kimbrel's still out there. Who's going to blink first? And, you know, I personally at ECSI, we should have a perfect week this week at 6-0. Instead, we're 4-2 because of two blown bullpen games in the 8th and 9th innings this week. So I'm a little, you know, a little salty on some of these teams because, you know, listen, I understand the offseason. I understand the nature of the beast in the game. Listen, we're not going to pay him what he's asking. I get it. But you have a fan base. You have a team. You have money. Someone's going to blink and pay the guy because you're losing games now and you're already at the quarter pole.
Yeah, and I just think that teams always tend to get that thing last. You know what I mean? Like, what, you know, the closer should be there just like your ace, your power hitter, your closer. All those guys should already be intact before you start the season. Like, and the closer is probably the most important player on your team, in my opinion. You know what I mean? Because that guy right there is the one that closes the show. You know, you got the guy that warms up the night. But you got to have a closer that finishes with a flourish. You can't have a closer that just goes out there and is somewhat dim die. You know what I mean? You got to have a guy that finishes with authority. And that's what's wrong with these teams that are losing right now. They were already playing musical chairs for the closer for the season. And now they're in a tough predicament. And then they're going to find themselves at the trade deadline giving up great prospects for a rental closer. It happens all the time in baseball. All the time. And like you said, it might be better off if one of you guys signed Craig Kimbrel. I know he's a little bit cheaper because, you know, he got to maintain a house too. So, you know, you might not be asking for too much, too crazy. You know what I mean? You sign up to a quick one-year deal and, you know, try to get to the playoffs and see where you go from there. That's how I see it, you know?
Yeah, these teams go back a few years ago, the Cleveland Indians, you know, they were the ones that took Andrew Miller from the closer role. They moved him, started using him for 2 innings. This year, you know, Josh Hader. You know, when you start and you have the closer in the 9th, now you start putting the pieces from the back end. Okay, I got the setup guy for the 8th. Okay, I got a guy that can go the 6th and 7th. A la like the Yankees, okay? If you're starting pitcher, you go to them and say very simply, guys, just get us to the 5th. Get us through 5. We got enough arms back there to take it from there. And that's how you shorten your staff, your starting staff, because you got the Paxtons, the Sabathias, the Tanakas of the world that can give you 5 solid innings and let the back end take care of it from there. But these teams are getting cute, and it's costing them wins. It's why have a team go out and play 8 solid innings? Like the other night, we had the Braves. They played 8 solid innings. They had a 2-run lead, and they give up 3 in the bottom of the 9th to lose 4-3. It's insane. Insane.
Heartbreakers, man. Heartbreakers.
Wallet breakers.
Hey, just like the Brewers did, the Brewers up 3-1. I look up, they lost 4-3. And I think this is at Subway last week. And I needed them, too. It was a rough week last week, Jeff. It was rough. It was a rough week, man. A lot of unders that went over and a lot of overs that went under. And Raptors didn't show up. Oh, and the Blazers. Oh, forget about it. Yeah, forget about it. Blazers, you get you get got everybody one cover. That's it. Game two. That's it. Well, did they? No, they didn't cover game four because they're a 3-point dog and still figured out a way to not be whatever. What you got? Just to, it's like, God, can somebody just get rid of the Warriors, man? That's all my whole reasoning, but it's all good. Fifth final, we've already given them their congratulations. But let's finish up baseball. I guess I'm excited to talk about some hoop, I guess, yesterday. But let me finish up this baseball. All right, we got the Rays. Damn, the Rays and who? Let me remember, because I know they're playing the Dodgers today.
Cleveland,
yeah. Rays, it's a Blake Snell day. Blake Snell day. You know how everybody used to be like Max Scherzer day, Clayton Kershaw day. In Tampa Bay, I had Blake Snell day. Give me Blake Snell, Jeff. And lo and behold, we got the Twins who had to have the game canceled last night, up 6-0 right now, Jeff. Oh, the irony. I'm telling you. And I knew that they were going to kick the Angels' ass in the situation, too, with Matt Harvey on the mound. No offense. I like to get Matt Harvey when he goes against the good teams. But if you bad and you got some hitters, oh, you going to tear him up. No worries. All right. Then we got some really good weeks. A really good one here, too, Jeff. We got the Braves game. We got Fulte going tomorrow. My man Fulte Newicks on the mound tomorrow. And the Braves, boy, oh boy. They've been back and forth, but I think that they're going to get us the win here, Jeff. 27-23 on the season going against the Cardinals, who are 25-24. I think that we'll be able to open up that series and cash that ticket. That's how I'm feeling their eyes. So I'm taking the plus 130 on the road team. The Braves, Fulte, get me home. Fulte's been good for me the last 2-3 seasons, man. So I gotta stick with my guns, man. It's the Taurus in me, the stubbornness, man. All right, Rangers, Angels tomorrow, Jeff. Over 9.5. Take it to the bank. Take it to the bank. And strut down there like Mr. Monopoly, too. All right, and then we're going to wrap it up with the other AL West matchup. It's the AL West weekend in Northern and Southern California. We got the Mariners and the A's tomorrow. I love the under 9 in this spot. I know it's risky business, too, because Migden is not that great. It gives up runs. But I think since it's a Friday night game, it's going to be a little, might be a little drafty, you know, a little cold, a little windy down there in the Bay over in Oakland. I mean, Alameda. It's not exactly Oakland. It's outside of Oakland, you know. So, yeah, but regardless, though, I'll go ahead and I'll take the under 9 there and go ahead and add the hook there, too, as well, Jeff. And then that will round us out to a pretty good-looking parlay as well, Jeff. Let me go ahead and get that exact number for us. It will be a 69-1. Oh, hey, freaky deaky. Freaky deaky. But you know what, though? At the end of the day, though, you put $10 on that ticket, you get back $700. And it's like, well, Pop, how can I hit that ticket? That's just too much. We've done it before. We've done it plenty of times. Don't worry about it. $20 on the ticket, you done made $1,200. Jeff, come on, man. I saw a guy bragging today about he had a plus 778 on the parlay. I said, damn. That's lesser than my four-teamers that I give up. I said, I've given out 20-1 four-teamer. I've given out 136-1 four-teamer. You don't see me running over talk about plus 13,600. Come on, Jeff. You know, but that's because I'm a different breed. It's the idea of it for him now. You know what I mean? Because these guys aren't in the same lane that I am. They're not doing shows about the thing, so it's really great for them to brag about those little things that they get. And it's like, Pop, why are you gonna say it's little things if you put $200-$300 on it? You came up. Like, but the thing is, though, you came up for like the next 2 weeks. You know what I mean? That's what I know and understand. You know, 1500 is different. It's a different beast for certain players. There's guys that their goal is to make $3,000 a day in this business. They can afford the losses. You know what I mean? Now, a guy who makes 1500 and gets really excited about it, this is a bettor who doesn't bet super huge, and this is almost like a lottery win for the. It's a, like the old. I wasn't from this time, but I've heard about it a lot. It's like winning the old numbers game. You know, Jeff. You know what I'm talking about? The neighborhood numbers game. Uh-huh. You know, oh hey, you got the number. The number. It took 6 days for the number to hit. So you got a whole bunch of money off the pool. That's just good for the next 2 weeks to a month, man. Now, if you come to me or Jeff, and you become an investor, then this starts becoming a monthly income. It's different. You know what I mean? And Jeff is more of a single. Jeff can get you in the area where singles will be able to get you home. I'm more of a guy who does cater to the smaller bettor. And I've always said this, Jeff, have I not? I've always catered to the smaller bettor, the $10, $20, $50 guy. You know, guy who wants to get a big bang for his buck. Hey, play a four-teamer, man. Play a three-teamer. Don't break yourself like that. You know, don't. You know, if you can't afford a $50 loss, then you might as well just play parlays. You know, some gas, just throwing out some gas money. But, you know, you don't have to, like I keep trying to tell people, you don't have to be no big baller to get in this game. You just have to have some guts, and you will get the glory. I promise you that. I promise you that. All right, we're going to take a quick break so then we can go ahead and transition to the NBA because we got a lot to talk about when it comes to the NBA. So you guys stay tuned. This is the Primetime Eagles Radio Show brought to you by Twin Spires, one of the best apps you can bet horse racing on as well too. TwinSpires.com. You guys sign up today. Put in the 12-ounce sports promo code, and then you guys will get yourself some free money from Twin Spires. All right? We'll be right back to you in just a moment. Nick Bosa, already out for 3 weeks. The Primetime Angles Radio Show is back after that quick break. And you guys are like, what quick break? But don't worry, we'll have the commercial fill in for it. So, you know, because this is how it is when you're pre-recording the show. The show isn't live tonight like it usually is on 12 Ounce Sports. But you know what? We'll get back to that. But, you know, I think we're going to go ahead and switch the time of the show so then everybody can kind of be in accordance. And then we can kind of get this thing going a little bit earlier on in the day. You know, when I got all the energy for you guys because, man, it's 7 o'clock at night. I know, but still. And you should say, damn, Pop, you should have a whole bunch of energy. But, man, as you get older in this life, it's better to start doing these, to talking about these things very early in the morning or sometime in the afternoon, because you get to 7, 8 o'clock, you just want to relax. You know what I mean? And you might have those last minute folks that you need to do business with you, and you might need to be on the phone with them for a while. You know? And then, but we'll get back to that. That's not important. Let's go ahead and talk. Let's go ahead and talk some hoops. But before we talk hoops, let's just talk real quick. Nick Bosa already done for 3 weeks. I guess that's going to be the thing with the Bosa brothers, Jeff. I'm hurt, you hurt.
You know, and it's funny because last year, you know, San Diego, Bosa just sitting out. We're waiting and waiting. That thing just got extended, you know. You know, he'll miss OTAs. Then he'll miss the first part of the preseason. Then he'll miss preseason. Then game one and two. I mean, I guess it's in the blood. I don't know. You know, the young Bosa, right? What was it, after game three with Ohio State?
Yeah, abductor or something.
Yeah, and then shut it down and from his agent or whatever, said you might as well not even bother coming back. Speaking of that, I got a 911 newsflash for all the listeners. One of our local gentlemen that does some of our gear, and we'll be doing a lot more of our gear and our swag and stuff, close friend, his nephew, is Mr. Fields from Ohio State. And he literally texted us while we were working on some shirts and new gear today of his 40 times. And it was at a 4.33, 4.34, 4.35, somewhere in that area. And he was talking about how he's going to get it lower for next year. And that's at 228. He was weighing in at 228. So, you know, kind of strange. He wanted to stay local, went to Georgia knowing that Fromm was going to get the start. You know, heads off to Ohio State with an opportunity, you know, as big as, you know, I mean, it's wide open. One of the quarterbacks already transferred. Haskins is gone. New coach. The Big Ten is theirs if they want it. I mean, Michigan, we know, can't beat Ohio State. So who do you got left? Wisconsin. You got Penn State and an upstart Nebraska team. So, you know, hats off to Justin and Ohio State. And there was my little 911 for you.
All right. So if we got any scouts out here listening to that or the NFL draft GMs that aren't employed with the teams, then Jeff gave you some inside looks right there. So go ahead and put them on your draft board.
I tell you what, we'll be doing a lot of talking as the summer progresses about college, you know, football, who we got, and maybe in the Final Four. I can tell all the listeners, ECSI last year, before kickoff, not only released Clemson as the national champs, also told everyone that Clemson would be playing Alabama and Clemson would be undefeated and they would end undefeated. So hopefully we can get some good homework. I know chalk right now is Clemson, Alabama. And then from there you decide if you're in on Michigan, if you're in on Georgia, a lot of, you know, early season talk on Texas, yada, yada, yada. So we will definitely
if Notre Dame is undefeated, they automatically third team in.
Unfortunately, this year, though, if my memory serves me correct, they play Georgia and Clemson, I think, this year.
So that's two losses right there.
Yeah, so I know Georgia for a fact, and they have another real tough road game. You know, and also ECSI, October 1st or November 1st, it was when we were going through the breakdown of college hoops. You know, we did talk about the 20-1 in Virginia. Don't sleep on that. So,
my obsession with UNC and the Duke thing. And I was just talking about those two. Then I even mentioned Michigan. And then Jeff came from left field with, hey, but don't forget about Virginia. And I'm telling myself, well, yeah, Jeff, don't forget about Virginia. They'll figure out a way to step on their own toes this year. They'll probably lose 7 games. That's what I was thinking in the back of my head when Jeff said that. And then they wind up losing two games to the one team.
Yeah, that was it.
Two games and one team. That's it. A team that had struggles all throughout the tournament. And then when they got put out, none of us were surprised. None of us.
Nope.
Nobody was shocked. All right, and since we're talking about basketball, let's go ahead and get into it, Jeff. Okay, we got so much stuff going on. What do we want to get into first? Do we want to talk about tonight's game first and how this series is going? Why don't we talk about the Warriors a little bit? They seem to be the flavor of the week, and we can get them out the way quickly. KD has confirmed that he will be sitting out game one. What does that do to the betting for that game? You know, I think that that's going to kind of reduce things a little bit. Don't you think, Jeff?
Well, it's funny. Yesterday, before this announcement, and after the Bucks laid an egg not once but twice in Toronto, Golden State went from 140 to 220 to 275. So they were 275 yesterday. To win it all, and now they're 220 with KD. And some of the experts that I've talked to, I'm drawing a brain fart here. Coach Kerr is like one loss in all his game ones in history, but they think that would be the sketchy one is game one. They're 220 right now. Now this news comes out, maybe they'll go back down to 180, 175. My point is this: is all the experts still think Golden State's going to win this, and I think KD will not play a game in this series. So if they lose game one, the experts still think that you're going to get the Warriors in a six maybe a 5-6-7 game series. So my whole point is this: is if you like the Warriors, you might want to wait after game one and then get a better price. If they lose game one, maybe they go from a 180 to a 130 or something. So I still think they're going to win it. I was really intrigued with Milwaukee, even though we gave out Toronto before the season started to represent the East. Kawhi has a heart of a lion. He can will this team. It'll be interesting to see which Bucks team does show up. Clog the middle. Don't let him, you know, Triple G get his 3 and 4 steps. Have someone else beat you. I'm hearing Brogdon might start. What's his name has been a bum. The other guard over there. He can't throw it in Bledsoe. He can't throw it in the ocean. So I know you've been pumping the Raptors. I like them. They're right now currently getting a flat 7 all across the strip. Right now, the under-overs that are 215-ish. I don't know. Intriguing game. How's that, Pops?
I tend to agree. And KD, and I'm just going to piggyback off what you just said. I honestly think that season ended when he pulled up against the Rockets. And I think the Warriors pretty much told themselves that as well too, and that's why they're prolonging this thing, and that's why he's really not participating with it in anything they're doing. I know everybody come back to me, but Pop, he's doing treatment. It's treatment right now. He's on treatment. Okay, but still, if you're really a part of the team, you're traveling with the team, and you can still get treatment. You know, and I just think that he's made a financial decision to sit out the rest of the season because you want to be as healthy as possible before you ruin it all in New York.
And let's be realistic here. They're 5-0 without KD, right?
Right.
Even if they lose one game. Okay. He has everything to lose here, injury-wise and little legacy-wise here, even though he's going to have to – his ego's already crushed. It doesn't matter, almost like Kyrie's was in this regard. If he comes back – and they lose, everyone's going to say, well, why'd you come back? We were winning without you. We don't need you. We've already won a championship without you. So I think what really has to happen is stay on the sidelines. You know, if you're down 3-1 and you want to pull a Superman cape on and try to give it a shot, fine. If you lose the first two in Milwaukee or Toronto and then you come back home, you want to put the Superman cape on, fine. Trust me, Steph, Draymond, Clay, they're fine without you, KD, and I think they're going to probably get another ring without you. So you go grab your 3 rings and you move on to New York. You hold hands with Kyrie and RJ Barrett, or if you get AD, whatever it is, and just call it a day. Move on.
And you heard the man. You heard the man. And that it's like that, and that's the way it is. Seriously, it's like that, and that's the way it is. Okay, Jeff, my thing is, though, I think the Warriors are headed to a place that nobody expects them to head to. I really do think one of these teams in the East could possibly beat the Warriors. And the reason why I say this is because I can see the hunger in both of these teams. And this is a good series. The Blazers and the Warriors were always an intriguing series, but it wasn't really the one that captivated you the way that it did with the Rockets, because the Rockets gave the idea that they could beat them because the Rockets don't like to go away. The Blazers tend to quit, and I still think probably Denver would have gave a better effort in this spot. It's not that, you know, they didn't give a great effort, you know, the Blazers, but I just think that they were scared to win, and it was something that wasn't wrong with the Nuggets. I think that the Nuggets exuded a lot of energy early in the game by celebrating before the game was over, and that's why they wound up running into their situation and losing that game. And I think kind of in a sense you could say, hey, it was a bit fluky, you know, Jeff? With the Blazers beating the Nuggets, Nuggets would have probably been the better team. The series would have probably still been going on if it was the Nuggets, because the Nuggets would have at least won one game at home. And they probably would have been able to win a game in Golden State as well, too. This worked to their advantage, no KD for the Warriors. It didn't work to the Blazers' advantage. You know, and the Blazers all in all, when you looked at it at the end of the day, they were good sparring. As Deion Sanders loves to say, they was a good sparring partner. Good sparring partner. You know, that's it and that's all. But this series right here is, you can't tell who's going to win the series. But let me give you guys something. And let me talk to all the people who was all in my ear after game two. Somebody told me that this series is over. There's nothing Toronto can do about it. It wasn't Jeff either. And but it was other people, folks. And you know who you are. And you said, so this makes the series with the Warriors that more intriguing, right? I said, no. You have to understand, they got to get out of Toronto first. And then we coming back to Milwaukee, and we're 2-2. But let's peep this, as I tweeted out the other day. The series could be 3-1 with the Raptors actually wrapping this thing up, Jeff, tonight. I'm going to tell you like this. The Raptors win this game, that's going to break the camel's back right there, Jeff. This is the most important game of the season for the Bucks. The Raptors are okay. The Raptors know that they're playing with a little bit of house money. They have the momentum of winning the last two games, and they got the winning spirit in them right now. Just like the Bucks had it in games 1 and 2, and the Bucks have to rekindle that. But if Giannis has an off night, this is going to prove difficult for them to win the game tonight. You know, because they're not going to get 6-7 threes from Brooke Lopez every night. So my thing is, with this game, I truly do feel like it's going to come down to the numbers, and it's going to come down to who wants it a little bit more in the end. And I really, really like the Raptors tonight. And I think that taking them on a point spread is a very, very safe bet, and it's actually going to be my premium today, Jeff. So there you guys go. Just a little bit of love for you guys. There goes my client play for today. My big client play for today, premium. You guys ain't going to get the other three, but you'll get this one because I love you. And, yeah, I love the Raptors tonight, +7, Jeff. And I think that the over is going to hit, too. It's 215 tonight, Jeff. And the last three games went over.
I was leaning the under, and it's kind of a split. 60. Actually, there's more money on the under. It's almost like a 65-35 under versus over today. I mean, they show you the wrong line at 219. The line didn't open at 219. It's currently at 215. There is a 214 and a hook at William Hill right now. But I was thinking, you know, fifth game, they know each other well. I think you get a real good effort from the Bucks on the defensive side. I was leaning a little under. I tell you, you know, listen, anything can happen here. I've been a Toronto backer the whole time, and you know I don't know. If the Bucks, you're right, Bucks lay this egg 3 in a row, they ain't winning game 6 in Toronto. And I don't think the NBA wants to see Toronto win this. I think a G versus, you know, Dub Nation is an easier sell for them, but that's just my 2 cents.
Man, I'm gonna tell you like this, Jeff. I feel like it's owed. I feel like they know that they're going to get monster ratings if the Raptors get there. I know it's not an easy sell for America, but the whole Canada is going to be tuned in to these Raptors if they make the finals, especially against the Golden Girls. I mean, the Golden Guys themselves, the Warriors. You know? And they are the Golden Boys, you know what I mean? And hey, you know, and they're the carefree bunch. They're like the hippies of the NBA of this new style of NBA. They're like the pioneers of it. But I feel like they're the only ones that can do it like this. Once the Warriors' run is done, the NBA will return back to normalcy. To be dead honest with you, Jeff, a lot of people don't see that coming, but I do. You know, that's why the big man is starting to be re-entered and starting to become a big focus again, you know, and we got to start reminding all these big men that they don't need to keep selling for threes. Marcus Hall is killing me right now, Jeff. As many threes as he's missed, it's almost like he's wasting possessions when he's doing it now. If you don't get your butt down there and be a big man, go get somebody else that will. That's why they've been better with Ibaka in the game than Gasol. Gasol still thinks he's Memphis, and he still thinks he can do the things that he does in Memphis, but you got Kawhi, you got Kawhi, you got Kyle Larry. These are perimeter shooters already. Then you got Norm Powell, who can do it all, who can shoot and he can drive. Then you got Danny Green, one of the most underrated shooters of all time. Period. We all know this. Danny Green was huge in those two Spurs finals. Even though they went 1-1 in that, he was still huge. And you know what? He actually got his start with LeBron. And I think he was in the finals with LeBron, his rookie season?
Yes. Right.
Yeah, and he's been a shooter. This is what separates the Raptors from the Bucks when it comes down to the gritty stuff, in my opinion, Jeff. That's why they were able to win in overtime the other day. Because that turned into a gritty San Antonio-type game, and Kawhi and Danny knew exactly what to do. You know? Keep pacing yourself. Go back and forth. Go back and forth. And then when it's time to land that big overhand right, boom. There it is. You know? And I know I'm speechless too. I just really like this series. This is one of the best NBA series that we've had in a while. Because it got everybody in a question mark phase. And I really do think at the end of the day, honestly, I'm chomping at the bit that the Raptors win the game tonight, but I'm okay with them losing tonight as well too. But I'm gonna be on the other side because I know the Bucks are a heavy bet. Everybody's confident in the Bucks tonight, so I feel like being the guy that's not confident in them tonight and taking the Raptors. But I do know and feel that the Raptors got Game 6 locked already. This is on the Bucks to win, Jeff. The pressure is on them. Because sure. I think the series is destined to go 7. And so if the Raptors win tonight, then honestly, they should wrap it up in 6. But then now the Bucks become the team with their back against the wall. If the Raptors come in and our back is against the wall, we have to win tonight, then they should win tonight. But they come in lackadaisical thinking that, okay, we got Game 6, then we got Game 6. But I think their attitude will be, we got to win now. Because Game 6 is not promised. And so just in case Game 6 is not promised, they still go 7. But that puts the fear in the deer that, hey, we can beat you at the house. And we don't mind doing it in Game 7 too. You know? And that would say they could have beat them three out of the 4 times they played. You know, but I think, though, this is going to be a grandioso of a finish. This is a 3-game series now. Possibly we'll be wrapping this thing up Monday or Tuesday, but my thing is we'll probably be done with this thing by the weekend. And you know, hey, the Bucks can win the next 2 in a row, but I just really feel if the Raptors win tonight, Jeff, they've seized all momentum and they should just blow them away come Game 6. But it works both ways though, Jeff. It works both ways.
No doubt. That's why that first half is going to be so intriguing.
You give Game 3 to Toronto, give it to them, you know, back home, you know, gut check. But the whole world was under the assumption the real Bucks were going to show up. And they did. And they got slapped in the mouth. Now, does this team, is that the Bucks wake up call? Hey guys, what the hell's going on? You know, we had lost one game, that was to Kyrie in Boston, game 1, and then we rolled them 4 in a row. I think they just assumed after they won the first 2 against Toronto, that Toronto was going to lay down. Well, guess what? They didn't. They not just punched it once, they punched it twice. Now, are the Bucks going to get off the mat, establish himself, feed off of the crowd? No, they literally need to win this game in the first quarter, first half. Get Toronto down 10, 12, 15. And you do not want to go into the second half where this is a nip and tuck game. You need to take control and take control early. But we'll see.
We will see. All right, well, Raptors, Bucks, you heard Jeff. Jeff is leaning under tonight, and I'm leaning over tonight. And you know what? I just think that, you know what, if you want to be an over player, over the first half. And that'd be the telltale for you right there. Just play the over the first half. I think 109 is a sharp number, Jeff.
Well, they're giving you a 109, and the total's at 214 and a half, 215, where you usually take the second half and you add 8 or 9 points. So that 109 is a sharp number. It's almost like baiting you to take the under in the first half and over for the full game. So you know how Vegas works. So you're probably right. Over 109 in the first half is probably the play. Right there. Right. Bingo.
Bingo. Hey, bingo. There you go.
We got bingo.
Yeah. Hey, they have to prepare themselves. Yeah, but man, I'm telling you, this is gonna be an intriguing moment. But all in all, everything should be good. Real quick, stay in the Lakers though. Well, I'm gonna talk a little bit of my Lakers stuff real quick before we wrap the show up though. Jeff, you know, cause I'm a little dispirited right now, man. You know, I'm a company guy. Lakers are nothing. Whoever's on the team, they on the team. If they off the team, they off the team. I just can't believe that one of the legends has to stoop so low to protect himself. You know what I mean? Jeff, I just really thought that was a big error that Magic did. You know what I mean? I think it's kind of petty in a sense too. You know, it's, you know, at the end of the day, the Lakers pretty much made him everything what he is today. You know? He was a kid that, you know, he had a great... If he would have been on the Pistons, it wouldn't have been the same impact. Jeff, I'm sorry. You know? Lakers, Hollywood, all that stuff mashes in well together. You know what I mean? He would have just been a great basketball player if it would have just been the Pistons. Man, being on the Lakers, he's a bit larger than life. He had the opportunity to fix the team, but I think that what people have to understand is that he's a pitch man. And Jeff, did I not always say this? The moment they hired him, everybody said Magic is going to do this and Magic is going to do that. Magic can just go ahead and talk real well at the meeting, give you a good idea about how LA works. But at the end of the day, though, he can't do anything about how he, when it comes to actually acquiring players and you working the mathematics of these things, it's best that he stays out of that stuff. You feel what I'm saying? Because he ain't got time to just think about it. Like he said, you know, he wants to have time to just do what he want to do, you know?
You know something? We've talked about the NBA till, you know, the cows come home. It's not the player anymore. It's not the individual. It's not the team. It's the brand. So what Magic Johnson was doing by coming out and saying what he was said, he was protecting the Magic Johnson brand. He was making it known exactly what he told Jeannie before he took the job, what he was entitled to do, what was happening while he was at the job, what was being said, not just amongst his peers, the colleagues and around the NBA. It's all right, I'm going to go out on my terms. And then after the dust settled, I'm going to make sure the world knows exactly what happened to protect his name and brand. That's all.
Oh, and you know, that's all good and well. I don't blame him for that part, but at the end of the day, though, he has to be accountable for his mistakes as well, too. That's my thing, Jeff. You know?
He said he came in, you guys had cap problems, you removed the cap problems, you got some good young talent in there, you brought LeBron in, he made it clear he wanted to fire the coach, they okayed that. And then all of a sudden, the gentleman to the right of him, I guess, jumped in. Maybe we don't want to fire him, blah, blah, blah. So, again, listen, I love Magic. You love Magic, just like I love Larry. They're the reason why I fell in love with the NBA. They'll always be on statues. They'll always be high on our mantles. It's just a matter of now you get older, longer in the tooth. Now they're executives. Now he's with the Dodgers. Now he's with the Lakers. You know, he's on the back nine like most of us here. You know, he just wants to make sure his name isn't tarnished. That's all.
Right, and I don't think it was ever going to get tarnished. The Jeannie Buss was always going to get full blame for this, which I don't think is right. You know, all she's trying to do is just, you know what the thing is, Jeff, is they like to have stability. And they just didn't want to fire Luke just to fire Luke. They wanted everybody to grow together. because the team liked playing for Luke, you know, and the fans never really accepted Luke because they felt like he was a little bit too green to coach the Lakers, but that was fine. I thought that we could all just build together. You know, it was kind of like Pat Riley in reverse, where you have to actually build the thing and make it go. But, you know, you got to make sure that guys fit well with certain entities that you have. And I think that that's what they were trying to are is we had one side that was trying really hard to comfort LeBron, and we have one side that's trying to stick to the brand, to the franchise, nostalgia. You know, we stick together. Laker for life, you with us, you know, that stuff. And I think that we just have a conundrum, because I knew this was going to happen the moment that they picked LeBron up, the moment that they drafted Lonzo Ball, that everybody would have to have an opinion about the Lakers. It actually was pretty good being bad for those 3 years, and nobody was talking about us about anything. You know, oh, well, they have a top five pick. Eventually, they'll be back around. But now the attention's back on, and I just feel like right now, as I told, as we talked about on Monday, they have to just get more discreet. You know, you have to get the little peepers, the little talkers that are walking around the office, hearing little things like that, and tell them to make sure, you know, make sure people aren't reporting everything to Wojnarowski and all that good stuff. Because I think that's what literally blew up the deal with Ty Lue, is that they were literally already handing Ty Lue the job and nobody had offered him a contract yet. They were literally saying that he was already the coach, but there was still no contract in place. No, you're not the coach. We had a good interview. That's it. You know, and the guy that the Lakers wanted got snatched up a little bit quicker than they thought he would. Phoenix rolled on it quickly, and they gave about $5 million more than the Lakers were willing to. And they gave about two more years that the Lakers weren't willing to give any coach. They said 3 years, and then we'll restructure this thing. You know, which I think is not a bad idea. It's not that you're not going to give the coach an extension. The coach has to prove, you're telling the coach that he has 3 years to make it work with LeBron. We're not even going to, you know, we might don't even think about getting fired or anything like that. Just know that you need to fill in these 3 years. You do well for the first season, they'll extend you the extra 2 years that you needed anyway. Right, Jeff?
Right.
You know, so it is what it is, but I'm going to end it with that. You know, I shouldn't talk about the Lakers until we get to draft night anymore this season, but I know I will. But I just want to throw in my little state of the Lakers for the week. And that's it. That's all. But you guys stay tuned. Next week, it looks like that I'll be taking part in the Anthony Joshua, Andrew Ruiz fight at Madison Square Garden, which is starting to, which is probably my favorite arena still out of all the arenas that I've been able to look at these events in. Well, I shouldn't say that too quickly, because I don't know if anything's going to top AT&T Stadium for a while. That place, Jeff, I'm telling you. Man, and to be on the field too, literally. Well, the field wasn't out there, but boy, oh boy, man, what a great venue to just be at. It ain't even about watching the game, Jeff. You go over there drinking beer, just watch it on the big screen. Stand up the whole time. Now I know why they do that. And those tickets are like $5, Jeff. That's crazy.
Yep.
You know, but they all, those are the ones that always sell out too. Ah. Yep. But I want to thank you guys so much for listening to today's show. Had an awesome time yesterday over at the Pacquiao press conference as well, Jeff. It's going to be a pretty fun fight there. But I will tell everybody, make sure you watch the fight that's going to be free on Fox, the Caleb Plant Mike Lee fight. And you'll like Mike Lee. Mike Lee actually is from Chicago. He went to Notre Dame, Jeff. And he's 21-0. And crazy thing is, the guy's like a financial dude. Like, he really doesn't need to be a boxer. So you guys stay tuned. That's going to be a great fight. And you guys just stay tuned for all the little stuff that we're going to have. I talked to Caleb Plant's people yesterday. We're supposed to be linking up in Vegas when I do. We'll be in Vegas a lot in June. So be ready for that as well, too. Fury Schwartz, Charlo Harrison rematch, you know. So be on the lookout, be ready. You know, it's gonna be a busy, busy June. We got a lot of big things coming for you. I got a big announcement coming next week as well too. And you guys just stay in the loop, stay tuned. Big things are on their way. The movement is moving. Feeling good, feeling great, Jeff. That's all I gotta say. Any parting words for the people, Jeff?
Memorial Day weekend is here. June around the corner. Before you know it, it'll be 4th of July. And we'll be talking the Hall of Fame game and preseason football and then the kickoff on Labor Day. So you guys really need to do basically is stay in tune with us. We have a lot of stuff brewing. You know, coast to coast, East versus West, East meets West, Magic versus Larry. Whatever you want to say, how you want to slice this, stay tuned. You know, you want to be a part of this. Looking forward to it, Pops. You know, I can't believe, you know, June's right here. It's just the time flies. And we're almost halfway through this year already. But everyone, follow us on, follow EC Sports Invest on the Twitter, as Pops would say. Website, www.eastcoastsportsinvestors.com. An e-commerce store. Get your quick picks, 75% off tonight on store.eastcoastsportsinvestors.com. It's been a great show, Pops. I much, much appreciate it.
All right. And you guys also be ready to buy the Santa Anita race card in the store this weekend as well, too. It might be it's going to probably be a sloppy weekend this weekend. Hopefully it don't rain too hard because, you know, our little issues over here at Santa Anita. But you notice there ain't no horses died lately, Jeff.
Knock on wood.
Right. But you know what? If they have another one, it probably won't make any national news. I promise you that.
Let's hope.
Let's see. We'll see what we're, you know, we got to figure out who put them up to it. We never pay people, Peter Sutton. We big liars, man. We never pay people. Then how do you guys have employees if you never pay people? All right. Enough is enough. This is the Primetime Angles Radio Show with your boy Pop DiBiase, the Primetime Capper. You can follow me on the Twitter at Pop DiBiase. You can follow the Instagram, DiBiaseWave_. You guys can also follow me on the PrimetimeCapper.com to get all my picks, angles, articles, even to listen to this show as well too. So you guys make sure to tag on, and you know, if you want to become a client, you know, pretty much it's better to email me at popdibiase425@gmail.com if you have inquiries, or DM me on the Twitter or the IG so we can have that formal talk, you know what I mean? So you can know exactly that I'm here for you and making sure that you're taken care of on a daily basis and cashing them tickets. What we do, well, they're not bad. We don't have bettors, we have investors. It's a difference. All right. Okay, so this is the Primetime Angles Radio Show with Pop DiBiase, the Primetime Capper, and Jeff Dawson, the Don of East Coast Sports Investors. You guys have a beautiful, beautiful night, and I'll be back to you tomorrow for that Friday, for the Friday to get everybody situated for the weekend, all right? You guys have a beautiful one, and I can't wait to talk about the fallout of the Bucks-Raptors game as well, too. All right, everybody be good. I'm gone. I'm feeling good. I'm feeling great. It's your boy, the Primetime Capper Pop DiBiase. And you guys need to listen to my show, the Primetime Angles Radio Show, which is available live Thursday through Monday, starting at 7 p.m. Pacific time. And you don't know where we might be. Vegas, L.A., Houston, New York, Miami. We do this show everywhere, mobile, but this is all about cashing that ticket. So if you are a big bettor or a small bettor and you like to bet college basketball, NBA, NFL, college football, MLB, WNBA, anything that you can bet under the sun, we'll have an angle for you, okay? So make sure you guys do tune in to the Primetime Angles radio show hosted by your boy, the Primetime Kappa Pop DiBiase, also featuring Jeff Dawson, Philly Pete, Bobby Del Rio, and many more guests that come in on a weekly basis. So you guys make sure to tune in, because this is the best sports betting show in the world. Once again, the best sports betting show in the world. Don't miss out. And this is the Primetime Angles radio show live every Thursday through Monday starting at 7 p.m. Pacific time.